right, everybody. It is Monday afternoon, continuing here on Mining Stock Daily, and we've got an episode here. This is kind of going to be the first of its kind I've ever done here on MSD. It's a really interesting story. We're going to talk about the ASA Gold and Precious Metals Fund. It was established in 1958. It's a closed-end metals and mining fund registered in the U.S. under the Securities Exchange Commission. It is managed by Merck Investments. And so we're happy to welcome in Axel Merck from Merck Investments. Hi, Axel. Welcome in.
Great to be with you. And to take it up front, we're not pitching to sell any stock here. So there's a bigger reason why we're talking.
There is a bigger reason here. And in fact, we'll have you back on here in due time to talk about the actual market of gold and gold miners. But we really need to stick with this ASA fund here. As I mentioned, it's one of the oldest funds. Let's maybe talk a little bit about what the fund invests in, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it is currently under pressure from an activist firm based out of New York. So before we get there, Axel, tell us about the ASA fund.
Sure, and let me give you some context. As you pointed out, founded in 1958 in South Africa, of all places, because we're not old enough, but back then you couldn't invest in gold in the U.S. It was reincorporated in Bermuda in 2004. So it's the only closed-end fund that's actually a what's called a passive foreign investment company investing in the U.S., acting as a closed-end fund. And what that means is that it doesn't trade at net asset value like an ETF, but based on supply and demand, it trades at a discount. And because it trades at a discount, it tends to attract activist investors. Now, why does anybody care on this program? It is because when Merck got the mandate from shareholders to manage this fund in 2019, we repositioned this fund from an index-hugging fund to one investing in small exploration and development companies. And as a result, ASA has become an integral part of the funding infrastructure of many of the small miners. We help what we say is institutionalize many of these small mining companies. We invest in a whole range of them because obviously not all of them will make it. But it is, to our understanding, the only vehicle available to retail investors anyway that allows them to participate in many of these funding deals. An ETF, as you may be aware, invests in the large cap companies, right? And even GDXJ that has the word junior in the name, those are not so junior. But we invest really at an early stage before many even of the mutual funds get involved in. And then anybody who knows the space might be aware that at least historically speaking, as companies make it up that chain into the indices, there is disproportionate value add-on. And so we're trying to capture that additional value. Obviously, it's a highly speculative corner of the internet, of the mining world, but it is a corner that we believe our investors appreciate. And an activist, or the activist particularly who is targeting this, has, to our understanding, no interest, certainly no understanding of the mining sector, and is purely in there to try to, quote unquote, capture the discount. We can talk about that, but in our view, that's not even possible. What may happen if they take control of this is that it's going to be liquidated and disappear. That's our fear.
All right. So there's a holistic reason why this fund is important. If you say it's one of the last of remaining funds that actually is able to participate in, you know, some of these financings, actually give us a sense of performance of this fund over the last couple of years. I assume maybe it hasn't been great given the market that we've been in the last 2 years, but it definitely outperforms when the market's hot.
Yeah. So just to clarify, there are obviously some private investors, not as many as there used to be. In the mutual fund space, they sometimes provide funding, but these guys got burned significantly in last bear market, and they tend to come in later. But in later funding rounds, we sometimes do see the mutual funds. As far as performance is concerned, it performs exactly as you would expect the junior mining fund to perform. When we took off in 2019, it took off like a rocket ship after we repositioned it, where the junior miners outperformed. It did then for about 2.5 years. In the quote-unquote higher for longer environment, it underperformed. as you might imagine, and as I'm sure your audience is aware of, there is a type of credit risk in junior mining companies because they have periodic funding requirements. Very few mining companies get funding all the way through production. And so when the Federal Reserve has a stated goal of making it difficult to get funding, those are affected. And ever since Fed Chair Powell pivoted, I would say, in October of last year, when he said, hey, mission accomplished, we don't need to be higher for longer anymore, those companies have come back to life. Obviously, as we all know, not as much as we would like to. The economy has held up better. And of course, the Federal Reserve hasn't lowered rates yet. But the mere bias has helped. Obviously, we're talking on a day when the miners get hit pretty badly. But to us, the most important thing is that this vehicle does according to how we say it will invest it, right? Investing in junior miners is not for everybody, but we believe that there is a space for it, and we believe that our investors love this, most of them anyway, and so that's why we focus on that space.
Well, let's talk about the news that is actually pressing, because you have an important vote coming up in regarding this. As we had mentioned, there's a quote unquote activist investor based out of New York who is looking to make a hard play for this fund. Talk about kind of, if you can kind of paint the picture here, how this kind of came about, how surprised were you that something has happened, and all this, what kind of leverage does this investor have to kind of take the reins here?
Yeah. So this investor is Saba Capital Management. Last year, they had 64 campaigns in these sort of funds. And so we are but a small fish for them. They have grown bigger over the years because at times when they have acquired entities, they have repurposed these entities to get stronger and acquire further entities. They have a few things they want to do, but as they've grown bigger, they've increasingly taken over the management themselves. And again, right, because they are not precious metals managers, they are more on the fixed income arbitrage side. They may want to try to repurpose it, except this fund, because it is from 1958 and has a lot of unique facets to it, there are many more, far more efficient way to run a fixed income product, for example. One of the things they have historically done in order to, quote unquote, capture the discount, because theoretically, right, you're trading at a 15% discount, hey, and we can get NAV for it, you might get this pop, which is actually more than 15%, if you're at 85% up to 100. It doesn't work that way in practice, in part because in the mining sector, the open-end conversion doesn't work to make it a mutual fund, because if you were to do that, the junior mining companies are not liquid enough. If you do a tender offer, which happens sometimes in these funds, two things will happen. One is the signaling to the market that there might be a tender offer is, in our view, going to put severe selling pressure on these junior mining companies. We've seen that Fidelity had a fund manager change last year, and the sort of stocks that the new portfolio manager wanted to acquire were under pressure. The other thing is, of course, the last time this happened was in starting in 2009 for a few years. At the time, the fund was about $900 million in assets. Over a third of the fund got reduced through tender offers. Then you had the long-term bear market, and the fund at its low was about $175 million. That's when we came in briefly thereafter. And we've grown the fund back to about $370 million in an okay gold mining fund market. But if you were to again have a tender offer like this, aside from, in our view, that you cannot really capture that full discount, you're going to get down to a size where it may be uneconomical to continue running it. And so again, liquidation may be the result. And so we tell investors, and if any ASA investors in listening to this, the challenge we have is, a lot of retail investors don't vote their shares because you never look your investment and whatnot. And the activist, of course, is voting their shares. And so they have a disproportionate heads up. And that's part of the reason why I love talking to you, to give me the opportunity to get the story out, that anybody who invests in this, please, please vote your shares. With management, of course.
and how much of the fund does Saba currently own?
They own about 16% of the fund. And that might not sound like a lot. Well, it is a lot. They're the largest shareholder right now. There's another shareholder that's just under 15%, but they have a lot of influence with those shares. And so they can do a lot with the sort of shares that they have. And it's our goal to send a very clear message that they're not welcome. So even if we just win with a tad, that may not be good enough because they can stick around for another year. So it's our mission to send a very strong message to have them reconsider and look for greener pastures elsewhere, so to speak.
Were those shares acquired over time or in a couple big tranches?
Yes, well, in this market, you need to make periodic fund filings. And so they started buying late in 2022. They showed up in the first filings in 23. And there are different types of filing depending on whether you're an activist or a passive investor. What we do with all investors is we reach out to them when we see them and try to have a dialogue. It took us until the summer of 23 to talk to them. In the fall, in October of 23, they switched to becoming a quote-unquote activist. Even then, they told us they're just following their investment process. They have no complaints. They're only filing to become an activist because when their position grows bigger than 10%, the odds of having a market-based exit become less likely. And so then in December of 2023, they said the management is the board is not capable of lowering the discount and has to go, and please replace it with our board. And so part of the concern that we have is that they have not engaged in a constructive dialogue. Our board, and I'm a board member, is very receptive to input. But of course, if nobody says anything, then we're not going to do any change. And so if they have ideas, we are more than happy to consider them. The challenge, again, is that this is a structure that is very unique in this space. And many of your investors or audience is probably not investment professional in the space, but it's a high fixed cost space to begin with. And when you have anything that's unique, expenses tend to explode. And you really need to have intricate knowledge of the uniqueness of this fund in order to contain expenses. And we have managed to lower expenses since 2019, certainly. And this year we'll have high expenses because of a proxy battle and all that. But it would be very, very helpful to have, when a shareholder disagrees, to have a constructive engagement rather than just bulldozing in, so to speak. I have a feeling that because we were so transparent and so open is because they didn't have any interest in talking to us, because they never had any intention of being constructive. All the more so that what it means for the general investor is that if you don't want yet another funding source to disappear for the mining space, trying to get the word out is something that is a worthy pursuit.
All right. That speculative capital is already dwindling enough, if I may say. You know, I think this is right in line with what Saba Capital would do. I mean, it's right on their website. They mentioned working in closed-end funds as kind of an activist approach there with their positions. So this is not anything that's, you know, it doesn't seem like it's anything secretive on Saba's account.
No, what's unique is that this is the gold mining space, right? The last time there was an activist, there was a different company. At the end of that ordeal, kind of the attitude was that this is not a good fund to do activism in because of its uniqueness. And obviously also, if you have a fixed income product, naturally the discount is a tad lower than a highly speculative mining fund. And so there are reasons why this discount is larger. The discount, by the way, over the last several years has come down slightly. It is significant, absolutely. But nobody continues to be an investor from 1958. The investor base has changed and almost all investors have bought at a discount. So it's not like they're losing money. And that said, we have done things to advocate for a lower discount. And one of the biggest things one can do is get the word out. And so when you get new faces buy into this fund, that helps create demand. There's a lot of things we can go into that we have been doing. But eliminating discount is elusive. And so if you look at what Saba has done in the past, they have taken over funds. And sure, they have a tender offer. The discount goes lower, not to zero. And it blows right back out. And indeed, one of the funds that Saba has taken over currently trades at a 14% discount after all is said and done. Very similar order of magnitude as we have. So it's part of the nature of closed-end funds. You can temporarily reduce it with some special measures, but there's a cost to it, and a big cost, because when you lower the assets in the fund, you're also increasing, you're spreading the fixed costs across a smaller base, right? And at some point, the board has to decide, is it worthwhile keeping this fund around? And we believe it is, because we are passionate about the mining space. But a SAB is, of course, much less passionate at all about the mining space.
Shareholders of the ASA fund, there's a proxy vote this Friday, April 26. And so this is something you, if you are listening, need to be very much mindful of. Axel, I mean, how does that vote get out? If people are listening, this is news to them as a shareholder of the fund, you know, what do they need to be looking for?
Well, we hope it's not news to them, because they've been bombarded with with letters and whatnot. The important thing is to actually vote, and notably to vote the white card. One of the crazy things in this industry is that when there's a fight like this, the SABA is sending out a proxy card. We are sending out a proxy card. Whichever you're voting last counts. So if you voted one and then the other one, the previous one gets canceled. So and we know friendly investors who by mistake voted the SABA card, and then when we pointed out to them, says, "Oh, I didn't know." So it's a very confusing process where the regulator, I think, could do a good job in trying to make the process less confusing. The other thing that happens, if you have any investment advisors listening, if you have your money managed by an investment advisor, you're not required to vote your client shares, and it's work. And so some advisors have as a policy that they don't vote their client shares. And it's like those shares don't get represented. And so if you have your money managed by an advisor and hold an ASA, you got to make sure that your shares get voted. It's really the odds are stacked against the established fund, so to speak, in this case, and in favor of the activists. And so that's part of the reason why we're talking, to get the word out.
All right, Axel. Again, that, well, what a saga, unfortunately. It is important, because this is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, fund for junior mining. That proxy vote for shareholders is this Friday, April 26th. You know, share along with your friends, anybody else that you may know has owned shares of this. Axel, I'm going to give you the last word here. I mean, I think you've shared a lot, but I mean, if there's anything last takeaways, I'll let you have the floor here.
Yes. Well, asaltd.com is the website. There is a whole bunch of information about the proxy. Feel free to reach out with specific questions. We're very open to input. And otherwise, you have to have your vote in by Thursday evening, the 25th. So that's unless you vote in person, and for that, there's a separate process. But Thursday evening, and so that means if you haven't voted, vote. If you have voted, double check that it's on the white card.
All right. Thanks, Axel. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.